above all names. Blessing and honor. Name above all names. Dominion and power. Name above all names. Righteous and holy. Name above all names. Glorious and worthy. He who was dead.
High, exalted. Good morning, everybody. Everybody up on their feet, just giving God, just lifting his name, exalting him, because he is so worthy to be praised. And I know you may hear me say this over and over, and I will continue to say it, because the Bible tells us to praise the Lord at all times. And where I'm going to, I made a conscious decision that I will praise his name, I will lift him up, I will exalt him to the end. Just as he loves us and keep continuing on and on and on, blessing us, walking with us, fixing the things that we're asking him to fix, just providing, being a provision for us. When we lift his name it goes in so many different directions, have so many different meanings, and that's because he wants us to know that he is God all by himself. He don't need no help being God. He don't need nobody pushing him to be God. When he decided to create us, when he decided to be Elohim, when he decided that he was going to be the creator, he already knew what was in store. He already knew what he had planned for us. He already knew what our expected end was. So we should just lift him up at all times. I don't care if this morning you feel like you got the worst headache. You feel like you just don't want to get up. You don't want to be bothered. I sit and charge you right now and tell you to get up, wash your face, drink you some coffee. If you need to get out your bed and move around, if you at your job right now because you are in the international waters and there's a time change, get up, take you a little mental break, and give God his praises. Exalt him on high, because he is so, so worthy to be praised. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is our Jehovah Jireh. He is our everything. God is my everything. And I pray and I decree and declare on this morning that he's your everything as well. In every situation that you have, God should be in the mix. God should be the person that you go to. Seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's in the Bible for a reason. So on this morning, I need you to get up. Get on your high. Get on your high this morning. Your high for God. Your high. And remember that Jesus died on the cross for sinners like you and me. So we can exalt him. So we can praise him. So we can be in a place of thanksgiving all the time. So we can have an attitude of gratitude at all times, no matter what the circumstances is and what the situation is. So as we go into prayer this morning, we just say, Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the new dawning of today, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your loving kindness, your mercy, and your grace, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the rising, Father God, of your son, Lord Jesus, and the natural son, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you just keep on keeping us going on and on and on, Father, like the Energizer Bunny, Father God. When in our weakness, Father God, you are our strength, Lord Jesus. In a time of trouble, Father God, you are our lifesaver, Father God. Lord Jesus, when we call on your holy name, Lord Jesus, and it's coming from a true and genuine place, Lord Jesus, we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are graced in your presence. Again, Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you never leave us, nor do you forsake us, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're keeping our feet on solid ground, Father God. And Lord, that you're continuing, Lord Jesus, to just nurture us, Father God, irrigate us, Father God. Keep us in a place, Lord Jesus, where you would have us to be, Father God. Not let us try to use our wisdom, Father God. And sometimes it may be wrong, Lord Jesus, but to stay under your counsel, Father God. to stay under your guidance, Father God, to just be with you at all times, Lord Jesus. Allow you to lift us up, Father God. Allow you to elevate us, Father God. Allow you to be our promoter, Father God. Because, Lord, we know that promotion comes from you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we just thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, sometimes we have to even thank you, Lord Jesus, for the trials and the tribulations that we go through, Father God. Because, Lord, we realize, Lord, that there's a teaching lesson in everything that you do, Father God. There's an area of correction, Father God, in everything that you do, Father God. There's an area sometimes where blessings just overflow, Lord Jesus, because of the obedience, Father God, that you store upon and in us, Father God. And Lord, we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity, Father God, to allow you to abide in us, Father God, to allow you, Father God, to consume us, Father God, with your Holy Ghost power, Father God. Lord, that is such a powerful, powerful anointing thing to have, Father God. It is such an honor, Lord Jesus, that you are, we are graced with you, Lord Jesus. It is such an honor, Father God, that we can call you Abba, Father God, that we have an intimate and personal relationship with you, Father God. It is an honor, Father God, that we can lay our heads on your bosom, Father God, and tell you, Lord Jesus, what's going on, Father God. It's an honor, Father God, that our complaints can turn into blessings, Father God. Oh, hallelujah, this morning, Lord Jesus. It is an honor, Father God, to be called your daughter, Father God, your son, Lord Jesus. It's an honor, Father God, to be an ambassador of Christ, Father God. It is an honor, Father God, that you give us the authority and the dominion, Father God, to speak to things, to walk over serpent's heads, Father God. It is an honor, Father God, that you chose us, Father God, to be a deliverer in some areas, Father God, a healer, that you blessed our hands, Father God, giving us the spoken word, Father God, to command our atmosphere, Lord Jesus, to command things and move certain situations out of the way to speak to them, Father God. It is just an honor, Father God, to be just who we are in Christ, Father God, and that you are who you are to us, Father God. It is an honor, Father God, when we don't have the food on our table, Lord Jesus, but you sent, Father God, a helper, Lord Jesus, to make sure that we do not go hungry, Lord Jesus. It is an honor, Father God, that we can say, Lord of Lords, Father God. It is an honor, Father God, that we can sit and say, victory is mine, Lord Jesus. It is an honor, Father God, that we can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Father God. It is an honor, Father God, to know, Lord Jesus, that you saved an old wretch like me, Lord Jesus, who once was blind, Lord Jesus, but now I see, Father God. It is an honor, Lord Jesus, to know that you would never leave me nor forsake me, Father God. It is an honor, Father God, to know that you hide me in the shadows of your wings, Father God, in your shelter place, Father God. It is an honor, Father God, to know that you, your blood, Father God, never loses his power, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for each and everything that you have done. You are so worthy to be praised, Father God. You are worthy, 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 Father God, in the name of Jesus, to be praised. And we just do not want to leave this morning, Lord Jesus, without lifting you up, Father God, placing you in your rightful position, Father God, and letting the world know that we know that there's none other than you, Father God. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus. We just bless your holy name, Father God, and we give you all the honor and all the praise. And we say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise, we praise, we praise your holy name in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father. We pray. We thank you, Father God. We magnify you. We lift you up, Father God. Lord Jesus, our mouths just continuously, Lord Jesus, they just speak. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Our actions, Father God, change, Father God. We change our own ways, Father God, just to show you, Lord Jesus, how worthy we are of you, Lord Jesus. And on this day, Lord, no matter where we're at, Father God, we just want to give you a moment of silent meditation, Lord Jesus, just to reverence you, Father God, just to let you know right now, Father God, that you are so worthy to be praised, Father God, that you deserve all the honor, Lord Jesus, and that you deserve all the glory in the name of Jesus. Let's just give God a moment of silent meditation in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The next voice you will hear is my sister, Minister Monica Elect, and she's just going to come on this morning and bless us. She's actually on the road, riding across the road for transition day for us today, and we thank God for traveling mercies as well for each and every person that has started their day. We just want to thank God and let you know that God is with you. He's there. He's riding with you along the way. Turning it over to you, Minister Elect Monica.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Rise up, saints. Just know that God is in control and he is a special anointing for each and every one of us. We just have to trust and believe in him. We have to make sure that we have that understanding that no matter where he takes us in our travel, that he is there every step of the way. And in many situations, he's carrying you through that travel. You're not even walking. Your feet aren't even touching the ground because he has lifted you up on eagle's wings. He's carrying you into your tomorrow. So as you move through this day, just remember that you're never alone, that God has never forsaken you, and that you can trust and believe he is always present. As I reminisce and think about how God has taken me from glory to glory, and I mean glory to glory, because no matter what happens in my life, no matter how dark the storm has been, you know that it never looks so promising until we come through the other side of that storm, y'all. And when I tell you there's always a rainbow, and I can promise you, I can contest, I can guarantee you that if it was not for God, it wouldn't be so. If it was not for my Lord, I wouldn't recognize so. But at the end of the day, I have made sure that I give God the glory, because I cannot lean on my own understanding. I cannot go by what it looks like to me right now, y'all. So as I give you that mindset of where we're going, reminisce and think about the things that God has allowed you to trust him on. And then remember to lean not on your own understanding, but trust and believe in him. Back over to you, sister.
And when we're saying trust, and we're just going to just revisit Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding, because it is so very hard. Let's just be natural right now. Let's talk in the natural. Let's be real and transparent. It's scriptures in the Bible. When you read them, you sit and say, yeah, I can do that. That might be easy. And then it's some you might sit and say, oh, I can't do that because it's hard. And when it's sitting and saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart, you may sit and say that that's something I'm already doing. But then you have to really ask yourself, is it something that you're already doing? And let me give you an example with that. You may have a situation going on in your life, and you have to make a decision about that whatever the situation may be, whatever the consequences are or whatever, and different scenarios are given to you as to what you can do and how you can do it. and whatnot. And you say that it's an easy situation. But did you, in the physical, did you sit and really think about what was going on? You thought about what was going on, but did you take it a notch up and turn it over to God and allow God to give you his godly wisdom and his godly counsel? Or did you just go head on and make the decision without even going to him first, without even sitting and saying, well, Father, this, I have all this, although he knows, let's keep it real. God knows everything. He knows everything. Although he knows, did you sit and take the time out to go into prayer to God about the situation, or even go into a fast because you want to make sure that you're hearing and that the decision that you made, that you didn't lean on your own understanding about the situation, that you didn't just sit and pick up because you felt like it was a great decision or it was something that sounded good to you, but you didn't sit and go into it in prayer. It's such a vital part of our lives that whatever our circumstances are, whatever that is presented to you, whenever you get up in the morning, before you even start your day, to have a conversation in prayer with God, to have a conversation with him before you even start anything that you're doing, to get his guidance as to what needs to be done, how it needs to go. Because what happens is when we lean on our own understanding, we'll make a decision and something to come and just bamboozle us, and we get knocked off. Because why? We sat and we decided that this was the way that we wanted to do it. When you decide to make Christ as the lordship of your life, the head, that means the head of your life, God has equipped us with the Holy Spirit for the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to keep us moving on and on and on and on and give us the godly counsel. The other two nights ago, my son had a proposition. Now, he's a upcoming rising R&B singer, and it's no doubt in my mind that God is not going to bless him. I'm just giving you a little snippet when you lean on your own understanding. And he kept coming to me, calling me, Mom, I got this going on. I got this going on. What should I do? And it's like, why are you asking me? What should you do? What should you do? You need to be trusting in the Lord and asking God to lead you and to guide you. It's not for me to sit and tell you what to do and how to do it. And he says, you know what, you're right. That's what I need to do. I need to stop running to you and asking you to pray for me, asking for you to do this, or for you to sit and say, well, this is what the answer said. This is what thus said. See, thus said the Lord. Thus, God don't tell me stuff like that all the time. And I can't continuously go before people for the Lord if that's not what God tells me. In the intercession part of it, God will let me know what I need to pray for and who I need to pray for. See, when you start getting into saying, okay, I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that because a person got a situation, then you leaning on your own understanding because you haven't yourself sought God out to see if that's something that you wanted him to do. But moving on, I told him that. He appeared to get a little offended. The next morning, we got on the line. He got on the line, was given explicit instructions as to what to do. I'm not quite sure if he followed all of those instructions, but he was given explicit instructions, cried out to the Lord, repented, and did everything. That night, he had a meeting with a record label to see, actually two, to see if he was going to get signed. And as he presented himself, everything went well. Two different labels was there to the point. On yesterday, that night, he didn't walk out with a signature or a sign. He hadn't signed yet and whatnot. So when he came back to the house and was telling me about what took place, I saw a little bit of disappointment on his face, and I still didn't say anything. And then he came to me and he said, "You're not going to ask me anything?" And I said, "No, I don't need to ask you anything. If you have something you want to tell me, I'm willing to listen." He said, "I just need you to pray." I said, "No, sir, this is what you need to do. Before you went into that meeting, those meetings, did you pray? Did you talk to God about the situation? Did you finish out the instructions that were given to you? Or did you go in there and do what you chose to do?" He said, "No, I went in, I was quiet, I did everything that they told, that they asked me, and both of them told me that they loved me, they wanted to see which way that I was, that they wanted to go with me." I said, "Okay, so it's nothing else to talk about. You prayed about it, you asked God for his guidance, he gave you his guidance the next morning. For whatever reason, God moved Apostle Temple to do an open mic situation. He gave you explicit instructions as to what you need to do. You did it. So what's the problem?" Well, I was hoping that right then and there that they would sign me right then and there. And because they didn't sign me right then and there, I think they may have not liked me. See, the people already told you that you're awesome. You don't need any development. You don't need this. You don't need that. But that mind, because it didn't happen how you wanted it to happen, that mind went to wondering. That mind started playing mind battle games with you, letting you know you're not worthy. You wasn't good enough that, you know, the expectation that you had, you came out of there with a doubtful spirit. And this is what happens when we start leaning on our own understanding. This is what happens when we don't trust the Lord with all our heart. See, it is Satan's job to steal, kill, and destroy. He didn't say to steal what, to kill what, or to destroy what. We know that he will sit, and him and his diabolical imps will play on our mind if we allow him to. But when you put yourself in a place that you are seeking God's godly counsel in all circumstances, in all situations, then you should have walked up out of there as a stallion with confidence, knowing that something, whatever God chose to happen, is going to happen. You should have walked up out of there and said, "Okay, I will thank you. Thank you for whatever." And when you came home to give a report, that report should have been a report of goodness, not a report with telling me what the people said, but you put a but behind it. And that but was a but of doubt, because you're not truly trusting in the Lord. You're now leaning on your own understanding, trying to figure out what took place, how it took place, and why didn't it take place in this situation? You're trying to sit and wonder what happened, because this should have happened this way. Well, who said it should have happened that way? Did God tell you that you were going to go in there and you was going to walk out that night with a signed deal, with being a signed artist? Did he say that? But see, he leaning on his own understanding. He didn't even listen to what the beauty of what God had did for him. He went. He was told he was going before one label. But when he got there and that label said, "You know what? We are to your the level of the type of artist and what you bring to the table, we're not ready to deal with that. You need no development. We want to send you over to a bigger label. We want to send you over to a bigger label and call the label right then and there who came in to play. But see, in his mind, he didn't see that. He didn't see where God had orchestrated a whole different path for him because you was too busy leaning on your own understanding and you did not truly trust God in the situation. And how many of us on today can sit and truly say that we trust God with all thine heart and lean not on our own understanding? See, it's the second part, leaning on our own understanding, is what messes up the blessings that God already has for you. That's the part that messes up everything because we have to sit and put self in the situation. Instead of leaving it to God, trusting him, and knowing that he is the orchestrator of all things, knowing that he is the one that's going to give the final answer, I don't care how you look at it, God is still in control over all situations. Even though it may seem that Satan is ruling this earth, God, at the end of the day, is still in control of all things. And that's where we need to put that, we need to receive that God is in control of all things. And stop second guessing when things don't go the way that you feel it should go right then and there. Because see, a hidden blessing, because you didn't lean on your own understanding, you might stump your own growth. I'm going to say it again. You may stop your own growth. You may, where God wants you to be a big, tall tree, you may end up just being a stump. Because you know why? You interfere into things. And moving along with the story, the next morning he says, he gets up. You right, Ma, you right. A couple of minutes later, he sit and say, oh, I forgot to play them this song. They asked for 6 songs, and I forgot to give them one of the songs and whatnot. And I surely know that song would have had them sign me right then and there. I looked at him. I said, no, it wouldn't have. No, it wouldn't have. I told him, I said, you may, just because you keep interfering, putting yourself in God's position, because that's what we do. When we are leaning on our own understanding, we take over the position that God has in our life. We take over and we become the rulers of our own circumstances and our own situations. Instead of us trusting in God, we get into a position where we move God out of the way and we take over. And once we take over, we sit and we suddenly what God has for us. So I sat and told him, I said, did not the man of God tell you to repent and to do some other things? He said, yeah. I said, well, I think you better go back before the drawing board and repent and let God know that you might be a little bit confused right now, that you are interfering into a situation that you have already given him, and you don't want that to take place. And then I was able to sit down. God always will bring a teachable moment if you just sit and just allow him to do what he needs to do. And I sat down and I gave him a teachable moment. I was able to go into the Bible, not me speaking it, but just showing him different places in the Bible where Jehoshaphat and his nation, they trusted the Lord when the different armies was coming out to attack them. A spoken word of a prophet had been told him, don't worry about it. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord. Just go out early in the morning and stand before God and watch what happens. To show him different, you know, to sit and break that whole scripture down, to and let him know this is how God works. This is what God does when you sit and you move yourself out of it. When you sit and you truly giving everything over to God, he's going to make a way. When you gave him that situation, when you fell to your knees and you repented and you cried out to the Lord, you gave him everything. At least that's what I felt. You gave him everything. And in the natural, especially if you are a new babe in Christ, because I've done it over and over and over again, I would give God a situation and then I would take it back. When I was in my time of captivity, God gave me explicit instructions. He would send me to scriptures the same way that he gave those Israelites in Exodus, explicit instructions not to do this, not to do that, not to do this. And I would follow them instructions for 3 days, and the instructions came to me because it was a condition in there. It was a condition. The instructions had a condition attached to it. And I would sit and I would do it for at least like 10 days. That 12th day comes, somebody do something, say something, and I'm moved. And I just sit and lean on my own understanding and would just cut off what God has for me. So I'm sitting and saying, because I'm talking to somebody today, God would not have given this scripture this morning if I'm not talking to somebody. I'm telling somebody today, whatever it is that you have going on, what's the word of God? Whether it's a prophet, whether it's the scriptures, and I said it over and over again, and I can only tell you the way that God does things with me, and I can sit and tell you about how many blessings that I have set aside. I'm not saying that I'm not going to receive the blessings, but I interfere in receiving my blessings. And now I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I take the same situation. Right now I got a situation from 15 years ago that I have before the Lord in his throne room right now, where I was supposed to receive a major blessing, but I put my own, leaned on my own situation, knowing how much God loves me, knowing that God is placing me in a position now where I'm learning to truly trust him in every area. And when I don't, the Holy Spirit quickens me to let me know you're going off path. You're going off path. See, you're getting ready to say this. This is not God. That's your spirit. That's not your spirit man talking. That's me to getting ready to talk. I need you to shut up. I need you to be quiet and hear from the Lord. I need you to allow God to orchestrate what is going on, because sometimes we talk so much, we interfere into something, and we make everything just turn into a disaster. Turn into a disaster because the words that come out of our mouth is not acceptable to God. Our mental, the way that we're thinking, may have a different motive than what God has for you. And that's the thing. What God has for you, it is for you. It doesn't matter if it's a delay. It doesn't matter if it's 15 years ago. If you trusted in the Lord with all thy heart, and I had to understand this, I had to go back talking to my mother about the situation. She said, you say you trust God. Well, why haven't you brought this situation back up? Did you bring that back to God? And I said, no, I didn't bring it back to God because it didn't happen. So it must have been that it wasn't meant to happen. What did I do? I leaned on my own understanding. So what did I do next? I went before the Lord. I brought it back on the table. I said, Father, I may have interfered. I may have messed up things before, but I know what you told me. I know how the circumstances and the situation is. You know what my motives is. You know what my heart desires are. So I want to give this back to you. I want to give it back to you, Lord, but this time I want to take my hands off of it. So I need you to lead me and to guide me into what to say, what to do. And even if I just need to leave it right here on the table and not say anything else about it, not pick up the phone and chase people about it, not go and start digging up papers from the past to show the proof about it, but just sit here, and I'm going to leave it right here, Father God, knowing, Lord Jesus, that it's not something that I can deal with on my own. I need you to handle this. And again, I had to confess that I had placed, did things in my own time, start doing and talking about things that I had no business talking about, or interfering and calling other people and bringing other people into a situation that God had already assured me that he was going to take care of. And that's what I'm trying to prevent people, not me, the Holy Spirit is trying to prevent people to stop. Once you give him a situation and you truly give him the situation, it's one thing I love about when Apostle Temple sit and ask us, he said, what do God say to you? What did God tell you? It's not what I can go in the Bible, because see, I used to go in the Bible and find stuff that other people then went through and sit and say that that was me, not knowing that I might have been bringing curses on my life, not knowing that I may have been sitting and bringing damnation over me and my family because I'm trying to put myself in a position to be like somebody else because God had recognized them. But I'm here to tell you today, in 2020, God is recognizing you. God offers the exact same services that he offered to the Israelites, Joshua, from the beginning of the Bible to the ending of the Bible. The only difference is that he gave us, he threw in there that grace and mercy, because he knew a lot of us would not be able to be in a position to get to the next level. That's why Jesus died on the cross to save you and I. And then he left a comforter to lead us and to guide us and to order our footsteps and to do all of this with the godly, the love, the unfailing, endless love of God. So I said, I don't need to prolong this situation or this conversation. I sit and say to you today that you need to, whatever it is, don't pick and choose what you're going to give to God. Go to God in prayer about all things. If you all notice, Jesus was a praying man. If you notice that, he was a praying man. And to be like his image, you need to make prayer a part of your life. It don't have to be a long, drawn-out prayer. You don't have to do like the old saints, the Pentecostal, the holiness people, and sit and just say a prayer for an hour. But if God wants you to talk to him for an hour, 15, 30 minutes, you do so. You just don't have to be repetitive about it. Give him, state the facts. State the facts. My supervisor always telling me, state the facts, and then we can go back to the story. And sometimes we don't have to go back to the story because the facts are there. And I'm sitting and saying that to you today. State the facts to God because he already knows. And once you give it to him, leave it right there. Leave it right there because he knows his timing. We can't beat his timing. We can't make him change his timing. You can sit and tarry all day and ask God to give you this. By just Jesus, 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 just tarrying. You can wail all through the night. But God knows just when he's going to give you what you need. And that's one thing I explained to my son. Are you in a place? Are you responsible enough? Do you have your house in order? Do you have things structured? Do you have, are you in a place when God said get up and move, you're able to move suddenly and you don't have to go back to fix this or to fix that or do whatever? Because one thing about God, he's not a God that's going to put us in a place of failure. He puts us in a place to be successful, to be prosperous, to enlarge our territory. That's where God puts us. And that's why we have to take ourselves out of the situation and allow him to stay in the spot where he is supposed to be. We always moving God out of the equation, thinking that we can make things better. But ask yourself, can you? Are you God? Remember, God started questioning Job about some things. Are you God? Can you do this? Can you move here? Can you whatever? If that's not what I want you to do, I would tell you this. In Revelation, it says what door that God opens for you, no man can shut it. In order for God to open those doors for you, you must trust in the Lord with all thy heart and not lean on your own understanding. In layman terms, get yourself out of the way. Get yourself out of the way before you abort what God has for you. Because what he has for you, it is for you. It's just that he's going to give it to you when he sees fit to give it to you. And sometimes you may sit and make a sudden move, a sudden change, and God examines your heart and say, you know what? Yeah, this person may, let's talk about Nita. Yeah, Nita might have been doing this, might have been doing that all this time. But you know what? This time she really received me. This time she really repented. This time she really made a conscious decision. And she truly knows my love for her. So let me do this suddenly thing for her. Let me move in a suddenly way to let her know, daughter, I hear you. Daughter, I see that you're moving in the way that I want you to move. Although on yesterday you may have did this and may have said that and it wasn't of me, but because you because the Holy Spirit quickened you, you was able to come back and maybe offer an apology or maybe sit and fix the situation. And that's where we all need to be. God wants us to be. Because you know what? When we're in that place, God is glorified. God just asking us the same way he shows us how much he loves us, he's asking us to do the same thing. He's just asking us to be obedient. Obedient. The word of God says to love me is to obey me. And God is just putting us in a place of obedience, and it is so important and so vital at this time in your day-to-day walk. You cannot be obedient today and tomorrow a lot obedient and you say, God, change my words and let the words of my mouth come and be acceptable to you, and then the next day you cursing, you just got a river of water coming out of your mouth with just curse words. You double-minded. When you are trusting the Lord with all thy heart, you have a pure heart because you've prayed and asked God to create in you a clean heart. You've asked him to renew your mind. You've asked him to order your steps. And you have surrendered and allowed God. You've given yourself away to him and allow him to orchestrate the things that he has for you. I say to you today, in closing, let go and let God. Stop second guessing God. God's word does not come back void. God is not a man, so therefore he shall not lie. God is King of Kings. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is Elohim, the Creator. He knew all things before we even, he knew how many hairs we had on our head, even before we came out of the womb. The problem, if you know this and you searching through the scriptures, and you seeing who God is in the scriptures, then you have to be in a place where you're believing in him and trusting in him and knowing that he is the person that's going to take you from point A to point B. When you start doing things on your own, I'm not saying that you will not accomplish them. Your road may be a little bit longer. The streets might be, you might have a lot of little curves. The mountains may be a little bit higher. And then the valley may be a little bit steeper. But if you sit and you trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your understanding, your ways will be a little bit more different. And I sit and tell you, search the Bible. Start reading the word. Meditate on the Bible day and night as it tells us to do in Joshua 1 and 8. Read the word of God. Trust him. Believe in him. Let the words of God come off the page for you. Let it resonate in your mind and in your heart. And then start walking into the things that God has for you. Any questions? Or you don't understand what's going on, don't pick up the phone and call your fellow friend or whatever. Go to God. Talk to God about it and let him know. I don't understand this. It's not clear enough to me. I remember I used to read the parables, read different things that God would give me stuff, and I would sit and tell him, God, I'm sorry I hear what you're saying, but I don't understand what you're saying. Can you speak to me clearly? Can you talk to me clearly so I can understand, so I won't make the mistake of putting my hand in a situation, but I will follow you for all the days of my life. I will follow you and continue to move with you and not come off of the path. Because it's so easy to do. We are human. But that's when you give that, when you put that, when God put that invitation out there for you to become one of his, when you become a part of God and you're living in his kingdom and you're applying kingdom principles into your life, there life-changing situations take place for you. And when you have enough wisdom and discernment to sit and move things out of the way or see things coming and say, I'm not going to go into that, but God, I see it coming, but what is it that you want me to do? Because as long as we keep putting our own stuff or even giving advice sometimes, you think that you're doing the right thing, it will come back and slap you in the face because that's not what God told you to do. So, I keep saying it, but I keep going on. Learn to trust God with all thy heart and not lean on your own understanding. It's a tough thing to do, but it is obtainable. It is something that you can do because, see, you have a comforter, a helpmate that can help you get to the place where you trust God. If you open your eyes and see other people flourishing around you, and not just flourishing, they walking the walk and not just talking the talk. God used people as examples in your life. It's a lot of them in your life. You just choose to ignore them because some people may be a little louder. They might be a little bit extravagant. Their stories may take you into a place that it may be more interested because it may be full of lies. But when you get into a place where the facts, the unadulterated truth is being told, listen, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. ADM loves you. We love when you come.
Amen. God bless you all. Before we close, the Lord laid something on my heart, amen, that I want to share something with you all. God bless you all. God bless Evangelist, amen, before the message she gave, amen. And the Lord laid something on my heart. That I want to share with you all before we go ahead and jump off the line real quick, amen. And I want to show you all three blessings or three ways to get a blessing, amen. And it's just going to be real quick, amen. We might end up going a little over, but three ways to get a blessing. But one of the things that I want to let you know will stop you 100% of the time for receiving your blessings from the Lord. The Bible declares, do not be anxious for nothing. Amen. Do not be anxious for nothing. And so many times, especially in the Christian faith, amen, we begin to press God for things that we need right then. We begin to press God for things we want right then. We need something to take place right then, and different things like that. People live their life like that, also, amen. They don't be very involved or very active unless they need something right then or something is coming up. Then they be very involved, very inactive, amen. And they begin to be anxious because what is coming up, they really want it. They really want it. They really want to receive it. But I want to let you know, it's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong with that as well, because the Bible talks about that in the third blessings that I'm going to share with you all this morning, amen. But the first one we have to understand, and I always use this as a low-level blessing, amen. And at the end of the day, all blessings are good blessings, but you got to know what type of blessings that that comes. One of the blessings that we understand is what we call whatever man soweth, a man shall reap it, amen. Whatever man soweth, a man reap it. That is a blessing that really is not determined of how good your religious walk is or your spiritual place is or your spiritual growth is. You know, that is a blessing that is not determined on that. That just determined whatever man soweth, the man shall reap it. Amen. That is what it is. It's not about if you're a sinner or you're not a sinner. It's not about, you know, the world call it karma. What goes around comes around. And they always use this term, if I plant good energy, I receive good energy. If I do good, I good come back to me. Even I just put it as this, organized crime organization understand that principle and that law too, and they begin to set up nonprofit, non-organization, and even though the way they got their wealth was crime, but they begin to operate in these principles of giving back to their communities, giving back to different places, and giving back to different things. That's whatever man soweth, a man shall reap it. Amen. And that's a blessing to where I claim that is a lower level blessing, because at the end of the day, we as children of God, we should be living a lifestyle. We should be living a lifestyle walking with God. Now, the second blessing that I want to share with you that people receive is, now this is a blessing that it kind of separate everyone, then again it kind of not. It's just what this blessing here, the second level blessing, it just determines how you'll get a blessing or what will come to you, and that is the relationship with God. You know, many people have a relationship with God. Many people have their relationship with God, but they're not sold out. You know, they believe in Him, but they're not sold out. And, you know, different things will happen in their life, because one thing about God, He is a promise keeper. He say, I will supply all of your needs. You got to understand something. You're in a relationship with God, but you're not sold out. You know, one of the blessings that God says to peoples of God, no matter who you are, I will supply all your needs. You got to understand something. Your need might be shelter. Amen. And next thing you know, God bless you with an efficiency or a studio apartment. Amen. It might not be something you want, but God said, I'm going to supply all of your needs. Your needs might be food. Amen. And your food might be, you know, something that you might not want or something that you probably say is not premium food. But guess what? He's feeding you. Amen. Food banks are helping out for you. God lands something on someone's heart to make sure they can bring you a care package. Amen. So it might not be something that you want, but it's a promise that God is fulfilling with you, that I'm going to supply your every need. That is pertaining to relations. Relations, amen, can be determined with anyone. Amen. My God Almighty. And you got to understand that God will walk in relations and fulfill His promise and fulfill everything with you, but you got to understand that it's deeper than that. God want to go deeper. deeper with you. Amen. God want to take you deeper. Now, this third one, and it's going to sum it all up. Amen. And this third one is basically is covenant. Amen. Many people think that they, because they confess, amen, they confess on a level of belief. Many people have their reason why they confess. Amen. And they have their confession on some area of belief. Some people have been traumatized into confession. What I mean by that, the things of life done happen, things in their life done happen, certain situations, they done got in trouble with different things. There's all kinds of things that brought people into salvation confession, but within their heart or within their lifestyle, they really didn't mean that. Because why? Their mouth speaks one thing, but yet their ways or their action is so far from God. Amen? And the Bible speaks upon that, how an individual could say one thing, but yet your actions, your ways, your lifestyle is so far from me. You got to understand something. I'm going to tell you all something. Many people want to get into a place of wealth. Amen? And it's not pertaining to the situation of Avengers Lex is talking about, because I didn't know that was her son the other day. Many people go and want a place of wealth, but you got to understand, wealth just illuminate who you are. It doesn't take care or cure things. It just doesn't do that. That's a place of emotion. Because if you as a crook, amen, don't think because you're going to get a wealth, you're going to get wealth or walk into a wealth or you get an opportunity to have wealth, that you're, that's going to change. That ain't going to change. It's just going to bring you into a place to where it illuminate you. I know that many people are having it in their mind before they get it. Yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to settle down. I'm going to settle down. Listen, I always have a term. Whenever the smoke settles down in your life, and that's really the emotions, the Jillian rushing in you and all that going on, all that excitement going on, all that expectation, all that going on. Once that settles down and now you got that flow, all it's going to do is illuminate who you are. Other words, make it greater. If you're an alcoholic before then, guess what? It's nothing going to happen. You're going to be a greater one because now you got resources to supply your weakness and supply different things. So the third one is covenant. Amen. God, covenant blessing. That is the blessing to where the Bible declares that I will give you the desires of your heart. Understand that. I will give you the desires of your heart. Because God, and this is a lifestyle. This is just not something, okay, God, I want to come in and you come in. And no, this is something that you've proven day after day, time after time, month after month, year after year, over. And it doesn't matter what came in your life. It doesn't matter what storm came in. It doesn't matter what rock your ship at the end of the day. My God, it doesn't matter what relationship or how much hurt you done been through, how much betrayal you done been through, how much disappointment you done been through. You still live for God. You still walk in salvation. You still confess him out of your mouth. You still, amen, everything that you have coming out of your mouth is a godly tongue. It's a holy tongue. It's a blessing tongue, amen, because your covenant, a lot of people don't have a covenant relationship with God, amen. It's no way you can have a covenant relationship with God and you able to engage into things that is not of God and it doesn't vex your spirit. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's no way. Amen. Some of us has that relationship, but they have relationship with condition. So God bless you with conditions. Y'all hear me? Amen. And that's how he give you, because why? It goes back to the beginning. That's what you sown. Amen. You sown in condition. Many people want the abundance, but yet they can't live in a full life. It's something wrong with people doctoring and this people education or people form a word of God to where you can engage into some things and you can engage into some environments and you can engage into conversation, even if the conversation pertaining to music, rap, or whatever you want to go, you can engage into all that kind of stuff and hear people calling my God, other women and other different things, your garden tools and these and all this kind of stuff here, and you're cool with it, you're fine with it at that moment, and it doesn't affect your spirit. No, brother or sister, it's something wrong with your commitment commitment. It's something wrong with your covenant. And yes, it's something wrong with the Holy Ghost living inside of who? Of you. Because there's no way that you're going to be able to walk in a covenant of God and don't have the lifestyle to be with him. It's no way. Amen. And we got to understand that and understand the difference, because you want something, that doesn't mean that God going to give it to you, especially you are not in his covenant. So many people thinking that they're in the covenant of God, but they didn't realize, and I shared this some time ago, you don't breach the contract. Amen. You came into his covenant, you confess within him, but yet you don't breach with the contract. You cannot, my God, be lukewarm. It's either you're going to be hot or you're going to be cold. It's no lukewarm in between. Amen. Because in God's eye, your lukewarmness is basically cold. You just basically on the other side of the fence. Because God says, if I cannot have all of you, you might as well keep the piece of you somewhere else. Amen. Because I want you to present yourself as a living sacrifice. Understand this, that God wants all of us to prosper. God wants all of us to go and reign within him. God wants all of us to walk in wealth, walk in prosperity. The Bible put it as this. He said, my God Almighty, you know, be in good health in your soul. My God, your soul prosper. You know, even you prosper. Everything about you prosper. I'm just paraphrasing. Amen. God want you blessed, saints of God. Understand this. Certain things is not God's will. Many people think that it's not God's will because it didn't happen. Maybe it was God's will for you to receive it, and maybe you wasn't in the will of God. You got to understand this. Amen. And we got to look at the whole criteria. And some things, it might not be your vein. Even though you want to go there, it might not be your vein. But that industry or wherever you trying to get at, it might be your vein. But how you trying to go about doing it, it might not be your vein. I've seen so many gospel artists, but yet they want to be secular. And nothing can come off of the ground because they want to be secular, because God said, no, what I gave you in this area. And if you're going to do this area, you got to do it on your own. You can't do it without me, because it's out of the will that I chose you to do. And we got to understand that we got to line up with God's will, and we cannot line up with what we want to do. That self, that human spirit, that's an individual, you know, that human spirit will always get you into trouble, because it always want to dictate which way to go or how to do it. Understand these three blessings. I'm telling you, when you understand them and you really know how to flow in them, amen, you will begin to see blessings in your life. But the one that I choose to flow in is number three, covenant. I don't choose to flow into all the other ones, because at the end of the day, if I'm walking in covenant, you better believe I'm having a lifestyle with God in my relationship. It's a lifestyle, amen. I'm not just picking and choosing when I want to have a lifestyle. I'm not engaging into different things that is going to vex my spirit. Other words, the Holy Ghost inside of me. Because you got to check yourself, brothers and sisters. I don't know why I'm saying this here, but if you able to engage around certain things, you got to check your theology. You got to check your revelation. Because at the end of the day, it's no way the Holy Ghost could be living inside of you if you're going to be a vent. The Holy Ghost is not a controlled spirit. It's not a dictating spirit. It's a spirit that if you walk out of order with God, or you're not in his will, amen, it begins to vex you. It begins to do something to recorrect you, to let you know you're on the wrong path. But if you numb to all that, you got to check what's inside of you. That's the true Holy Ghost, amen. The true Holy Ghost comes to lead and guide who? It comes to lead and guide you, amen. It don't come to pat your snake or pat your mess or sympathize with you or agree with you because you feel like this here. No, it comes to lead, it comes to God, and it's going to let you know that it ain't right, it ain't going on. So I'm telling you, if you're walking number three, the covenant with God, you can't help but to sow good seeds into people. You can't help do nothing but reap what you're reaping, and what your reaping season, my God, it's going to be greater than your harvest season. I'm going to share this my God, with my wife and about my wife, amen, or ADM, how you want to put it. You know me and my family, my wife, we, you know, we givers, we give her, we give her. And trust me, ADM, you know, we love to give anything someone asks. We giving our family food or whatever they need, amen. Our family come and ask, we sowing into them, amen. My wife can tell the testimony better than I can, but you just don't know. For the last time, we just been receiving overflow. For the things that been given out, amen, the receiving or the giving back, amen, is greater than what we're receiving out. Boxes of different things, just receiving, just giving out. Because when your reaping time comes, y'all, I'm finna go because I'm about finna steal a holler in my shanana. Tell y'all something? I'm finna get ready to go. For those that stayed on the line, my God, I'm gonna give you a little bonus this morning. You got to understand, in the midst of October, this is where they begin to do the last harvest for the season. They begin to do the fall harvest. The fall harvest is the last harvest before the winter. Other words, what you're saying, Pastor, y'all better get ready because somebody finna get ready to go into their reaping season. This finna be your reaping season before the winter season comes. This finna be a season that you finna get ready to reap your harvest, the things that you don't sowed in your life before God said, now I want you to take it, put it in your house. It's going to sustain you regardless of what recession, regardless of what may come into your life. Understand this. The fall harvest, my God Almighty, in the pilgrim time or whatever time, it's the last harvest. I'm going to let you know you're going to get ready for your fall reaping. Reap, my God. That's why Pastor always tell people, encourage, constantly put seeds in the ground. Don't just give it today and stop tomorrow. You better keep it. Baby, if I got to encourage you, everything is going to be all right. Things going to, because at the end of the day, when the reaping time comes, whatever a man soweth, you shall do what reap it. That's why I live in the third covenant blessing, because in the covenant blessing, I shall receive as a covenant reward, or I get a covenant blessing. Not only I get a covenant blessing, but I shall get the relationship blessings with God. Not only I get the relationship blessings with God, but I shall get the harvest, seed time in the harvest, blessing from the Lord as well. Whatever men sow, it shall, my God Almighty, reap it. My God, you walk in the things of God. God say, I will supply your every need. Promise of the relationship. I will bless you with from the desires of your heart. Covenant relationship. I'm telling you, saints of God. So walk in these things. Hallelujah. I ain't meant to come on and get all that there. But we walk in these things, we'll be able to walk and see our life blessing. I challenge you to walk into the covenant blessings of God. The covenant blessings. It's a lifestyle. Yes, it is. It's a lifestyle. You best believe it. Sometimes it's not hard. Make you want to throw in the towel. Absolutely. But when you walk into the covenant blessings of God, and choosing that lifestyle, you're not picking and chooses what you want to do. And we got to understand, the Holy Ghost live in us. And as the Holy Ghost live in us, he lead and guide us. It's no way you could be comfortable in certain environments and we say we got a Holy Ghost. A lot of people have a relationship with God, but no fulfillment of the Holy Ghost. It's a difference. It's totally different. Amen? You have to have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you if you're going to be guided in certain situations and on certain in certain areas and certain opportunities. If not, guess what? It's not going to lead and it's not going to guide because why? You don't have the Holy Ghost. Amen? God want everyone with a relationship with him. God want all of you to have the relationship with him. Amen? But I want to have more than a relationship. I want my life here on earth to be blessed. I want to see the prosperity of God to reign and fulfill my life here on earth. My God, I thank God for you all as evangelists. We're closing out, but I had to share this with you all. God bless you. Walk into number 3, covenant blessings with the Lord. God bless all of you.